May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our hope and our light. Amen. Welcome on this chilly evening of the Feast of the Epiphany. Last year, I preached at this service for the first time preaching at St. Mark's, and I was nervous and didn't know what to expect. And this year, preaching now for, the fourth or fifth time, I'm still nervous and don't quite know what to expect. But I'm excited. I'm excited about the stories that we hear tonight in Scripture. I'm excited about the magic and wonder and music and light that fills this evening's worship and the season of Epiphany. Epiphany has always been one of my favorites just because it is filled with all of those things. It's almost like Epiphany is this liminal time and space where we're almost done with Christmas, and yet we're looking forward to the light being present and active in the world, recognizable in large doses and in small spaces. And in this liminal time, Epiphany is a time that points us in some ways forward to a very faraway future as we also depend on the hope that we've heard about through Advent and the joy of the infant Jesus that we've just recently heard about in the Christmas Gospels. And the youngest to the oldest among us can probably recount the story that we hear in our Gospel tonight. Those among us can tell of the wise men from the east who follow a star, ask for the child, and then offer gifts of unfathomable wealth when they visit him. And finally, when they're done with their visit, they return to their home by another way because they are warned in a dream not to return to Herod. Who are these faithful men who would travel such distance to find a child in a manger? Are they kings? Are they wise men? Are they magicians? Throughout the years, people have suggested that they might be any of these things. And tonight, I'd like to wonder if perhaps we can call them something else. I've been thinking a lot lately about the prophets. Our reading from Isaiah is one of my favorites, and Isaiah generally is one of my favorite books. And I wonder if these men aren't exactly prophets in their own right, if they get pretty darn close. They're learned men who could read the stars. They faithfully trust the star that they follow. They literally see the light and follow the star until it rests over the place where the child was. And as the years have gone by, their story continues to point us both forward to God's promised future. It has continued to root us in our heritage as people of Israel. And each year, in its own way, this story tells us something about who we are. So like this knight that walks the line between the now and not yet, these wise men, these prophets from another land, occupy a liminal space in our spiritual journey. Their mere arrival fulfills the great prophecy from Isaiah, and it again connects us back to what has been by pointing us forward to a new king and a new kingdom. And for these men, it's not so much about what they say that might make us say that they are prophets, but it's about what they do. They follow a star, they give their gifts, they trust their dreams. And by doing all of these things, the prophets who are wise men proclaim a great and glorious truth tonight to the whole world, that this child, this one, is the one who has been promised. This new light is different than any light that has ever been. the theme of God made manifest, not just for us as Christians, but for the whole world, is found throughout our lessons today. Isaiah reminds us that as a community, it is our call to be a light to the nations. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your glory. Ephesians suggests that the ultimate purpose of God is the unification of all of humanity in some multicultural community where all distinctions between insiders and outsiders are vanished. And finally, the Gospel of Matthew reminds us that these distinctions begin to erode with the coming of this infant king, the promised one given to the whole world. And yet Epiphany is not some triumphal occasion for us to pat ourselves on the back as people who have obviously seen the light. I think tonight our texts encourage and call us to the humble admission that God's glory may be manifest where we least expect it. The work of Christmas begins, as clergyman and advisor to MLK Howard Thurman writes, when we take it on as our mission to find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, and to bring peace among people. This God who just 12 days ago came to us as an infant, the one to whom the wise men bestowed the great gifts, the one who will live and die as one of us, this God, our God, is living and breathing as the light through me and through you. The light that the wise men follow, the light that shines in the darkness and will never be overcome, shines into our broken world from within each and every one of us. As Isaiah and Ephesians tell us, we are God's people. We have been given this gift of becoming the light for one another. And so I wonder what our work of Christmas might be this year, if we take Howard Thurman's words to heart and believe that tonight is the night when that work begins. What shall we do? Maybe we will take it as our mission, as our call, to work to make sure that women are safe, that children are clothed, that the undocumented, the gay, the straight, the unsure, the stranger, the foreigner, the everyday attended, that everyone has a safe place to live and work and study and worship. We might make sure that everyone has enough heat in their homes and food on their tables, and we might do this work until our world looks like that future kingdom that God promises us. If we place our hope in the infant who we meet in a manger and the Christ who died for all of us on the cross, we just might have the courage to be like those prophetic wise men and move forward. For all that has changed for us over these last few days and weeks, is that our call has become more clear in the incarnation of Christ. In the midst of the hope of Advent, the joy of the arrival of Jesus, our call is to continue to seek the Christ who lives and moves among us as light in the world. This Christ points the way forward for us and helps us speak the truth about the here and now. And in this work, we are not guaranteed to have it easy. As we see in the first verses of our gospel tonight, there will be some who are blind to the light that others can see. And those people who cannot see the light may be more powerful than we are, but they are not more powerful than the light itself, and it's our job to keep working. Always, the light is here, and somehow God graciously and defiantly continues to break into human lives with love for you and for me and for all people that is bigger and more powerful than anything we will ever be able to imagine. Each of us are invited and called to live in that love and that light and to bear it as best we can for the world which surely needs it. So tonight, as we celebrate the arrival of the wise men and the manifestation of Christ to the whole world, may we take it as our Christmas work to live as people of the light. Amen.